Hi, this is Michael Oshlink with Take Back Medicine Audio Blog and AAPSonline.org. And I'm here with Jim Turner. Jim is a consumer lawyer based in Washington, D.C. He's been working on health freedom issues for over 30 years. He is also chairman of Citizens for Health, which works to protect consumers and citizens' rights to natural medicine and other health food type products. Jim, we're here to talk briefly about your work on the FTC and their efforts to limit consumers' information and the choices they take on their medical choices. Jim, can you talk about this issue?
Yeah, the FTC is a very powerful organization that was originally designed to regulate corporate behavior in America. That was in 1915, and it was designed to try to match the power that the corporations that were emerging at that time had. It's gone well astray from that in the last 15 or 20 years. In fact, so far astray that in 1980, the Congress started to clip back a lot of its authority. Unfortunately, we have in Congress Congressman Waxman, who is a believer that the FTC ought to have pretty much unlimited authority, and he's trying right now to sneak some legislation through that will restore a lot of that authority that the FTC lost in 1980. What the FTC basically is doing in the health area is saying that nobody can make a claim that anything can help cure, mitigate, treat, prevent, or diagnose a disease except a drug, only a drug, not foods, not herbs, not dietary supplements, only a drug. And they say that anytime you use those five words, you have defined a drug, and therefore you must do double-blind placebo-controlled studies. These cost at a minimum $100 million per item, according to their own experts. And basically, they want to stamp out any kind of information that has anything to do with health anything other than a drug. That is a huge problem in many, many different ways. That's the issue that we're focusing folks on in the FTC these days.
You mentioned it's Congressman Waxman. Is there a similar effort presently in the Senate to also expand the power of the FTC and limit consumers' choices on information related to their own health?
Yes, there is. There is an effort to get language through the Senate, and that effort is being opposed and worked against. And hopefully, it will not survive in the House-Senate conference on the bill to change all of our financial services requirements.
So, are you saying that this language that have to do with expanding FTC powers was stuck in the financial reform bill that passed the House and the Senate?
Yes, it was. That's correct.
And how do they, if they try to even at all, explain that this has anything to do with the Federal Reserve and banks?
Well, FTC has a big financial regulatory piece. They've got a huge antitrust piece, and they do have some common authority with the Justice Department on regulating different kinds of economic activity. And that was basically, I imagine, Waxman's rationale.
Okay, so presently it's heading to conference. And is the idea that outside groups should pressure their members of Congress, especially their members who are on the conference committee, and encourage them to strip this particular language out?
Basically, everybody should write their congressmen and the members of the committee and just say no expanded authority to FTC.
Okay. Now, you're chairman of Citizens for Health, and I assume that Citizens has been on the forefront of this effort. Is there an action alert or more information that people can look into on your site?
We have been actually supporting the Association for Natural Health, ANH, and
okay.
They have been the ones that have been doing the lobbying and leading the campaign, and we do when they have action alerts up as well, and that's probably the best place to go for an action alert on this issue.
Great. Now, you personally and Citizens for Health more generally, you've been involved in protecting consumers' access to dietary supplements for an awful long time. Can you put this recent action by Waxman and enhancing FTC powers in the context of DSHEA, the purpose of DSHEA, and the battles to both protect and from various government agencies and individuals within the government to attack Duchenne.
Well, Waxman has been the number one leading opponent of dietary supplements in the Congress on both the House side and the Senate side. I mean, he's the number one leading opponent. And in the original activity I got involved in, and actually I've been involved in this closer to 40 years. I started in 1968 working on a book with Ralph Nader on the FDA and food protection. And in 1976, a piece of legislation passed called the Proxmire Act. It passed the House and the Senate. And that was the first big effort to create a framework for protecting dietary supplements from the outrageous behavior of the FDA, which they've been engaging in since the passage of the 1938 Food and Drug Act. It's just outrageous behavior. And that bill passed with Congressman Rogers in the House being the sponsor. Waxman mounted a campaign almost, it was either the next term or the next year or the next term, a campaign to oust Rogers and or to replace Rogers as the head of the Health Committee in the House, and started from there a drumbeat campaign against dietary supplements. In 1994, after a lot of back and forth in Congress, he tried to introduce legislation that would have stripped away the successes of the Proxmire bill from 1976, which was 18 years earlier, and that was turned into the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act. That is, the public got so outraged. Citizens Health for Health was created in 1993 and basically was an essential part of generating between 2 and 3 million letters to Congress to get the Shea passed. Basically, we took the community took the Proxmire Act, not the Proxmire Act, but the Waxman Act, what Waxman was pushing, and turned it into Shea. And that has been the basic backbone of protecting dietary supplements. And Waxman has tried in many different ways to undermine that over the years. The FDA, for example, has not enforced really major portions of that act, which were very important, like the whole good manufacturing practices piece. This bill was passed in 94. This year, FDA has announced, finally, good manufacturing guidelines. That failure has caused the dietary supplement industry lots of problems. Waxman just stood by while the FDA was doing that. And Waxman has issued from time to time all kinds of warnings about the dangers and frauds of dietary supplements. He's got other allies, but fortunately, every time there's been an effort to do something significant in Congress, the public has been outraged. Just recently, back in February, Senator McCain attempted to restrict dietary supplements in a very severe way, and he was just inundated with responses. And within 20 days, he actually distanced himself from his own bill. It's kind of rare that a congressman says, "I'm not supporting my own bill," or a senator does, but he did that. The FTC piece is that the FTC and the FDA have an agreement to campaign against what they call health fraud, and they put dietary supplements on the health fraud list, and they put together a joint task force with the post office and local United States attorneys, and they just go across the country identifying people in various health fraud areas. Most of what they do from the health fraud side that I can see is just law enforcement fraud on their part, but they put dietary supplements in that category, and they do strikes of various kinds to push the dietary supplement folks out of the marketplace. And they've gone after things like oregano and cherries and cranberries, all of whom have made truthful statements about the relationship between their products and health. The FDA and the FTC have gone after them for fraud because they didn't have double-blind placebo-controlled studies to support their claim.
One of our most famous doctors is Dr. Paul, Congressman Paul, and I understand that he does have legislation that addresses some of the concerns that you have with the FTC and the inability at this time for Americans to get legitimate information to take better health choices. Can you talk a little bit about Dr. Paul's efforts?
There are three bills actually in Congress, two by Congressman Paul and one by the co-chairs of the Dietary Supplement Caucus in Congress, Jared Polis from Colorado and Congressman Chaffetz from Utah. Polis is a Democrat, Chaffetz is a Republican, and they're co-chairs of the Dietary Supplement Caucus. And the two groups, Congressman Paul's office and the other two offices together, are working to get hearings for these three bills in the Senate committee that's chaired by Congressman Waxman. Congressman Barton from Texas, the Republican, is the senior minority person, and what we're doing is attempting to get to influence him to say that he would like to have hearings and to get all the members of that committee and anybody's congressman, you have to say, co-sponsor these three bills. One of them from Congressman Paul says that the FDA should have should allow sound science that does not meet the standard of double-blind placebo-controlled studies, but other kinds of science ought to be able to be used by dietary supplements to demonstrate, to substantiate their health claims. Other science would be things like there's all kinds of work done in Europe to evaluate herbs, and they have actually a directory of herbs that say this herb is good for this this ailment and so forth. And the Paul bill would create the opportunity for those kinds of data to be used in this country. The other bill is focused on giving the same kind of authority or the same kind of opportunity to restrict FTC's effort to constantly cut back on what people can say by allowing by saying that the FTC can't require these kinds of studies. The Polis-Chaffetz bill is designed to do that for is a general sign saying a general bill saying that any science that is in peer-reviewed journals can be cited by dietary supplement people to support their claims. All three of those bills or any combination of them would be a tremendous step forward for the dietary supplement industry and community and for dietary supplement consumers.
That's great. Jim, do you happen to know the names and numbers of the particular bills off the top of your head?
I don't know the names and numbers right off the top of my head. They're in the 3,000 list, but if you Google either one of those offices, Ron Paul's office, Polis's office, or Chaffetz's office, any of those, they're very prominently displayed on their sites.
Excellent. And actually, I just found two, H.R. 3394, the Health Information Protection Act, which inhibits the FTC from acting against any entity for communicating the health benefits of its product, unless the FTC presents a clear and convincing evidence that their statements are false. Is that that's one of the bills you're referring to?
That's one of the Ron Paul bills, yes.
Okay. And also H.R. 3395, the Health Freedom Act, which remove the unconstitutional FDA powers of prior restraint over all nutrient disease relationship claims.
That's the FDA companion. That's the other Ron Paul bill.
Great. And what we can do is find the other one by, you said, Jared Polis?
Jared Polis, P-O-L-I-S. And if you just went to his site, I think he's got it featured pretty prominently on his site. I'm not sure of that.
You said he's a congressman from?
From Boulder, Colorado.
Colorado. Great. Okay. Jim, you also are a consumer lawyer, besides being chairman of Citizens for Health. And I know you've both helped companies to protect their interests when they want to make claims for their products in the health field, and doctors as well. I think it'd be of interest to our listeners, who are all doctors and hopefully others, from the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, to let them know of at least maybe one of your cases, which you're free to talk about, and some of the battles that, you know, some of the issues that you faced in trying to protect doctors' ability to practice the medicine that they think is best for their patients.
Well, some of the most dramatic ones actually have been dentists, but they're very parallel. The dental boards and the medical boards are very, very similar. As a quick out of the box question like that. The one that really struck me was we had a dentist who was doing a natural dentistry work and removing mercury fillings, and the Arizona Dental Board wanted to get rid of him, and they really, really worked hard at it. And we mounted a campaign. We went after each one of the – there were nine alleged complaints against him. We carefully identified each complaint, found the complaint, and had them come in and testify. Every one of them testified that they felt they had gotten proper treatment. The complaints that they had made, which were about their charges, had been converted by the board. The board's supposed to have an arbitration for dealing with differences of opinion about what the price should be. And by the way, these were nine complaints over a 14-year period, and they pulled them together and turned them into complaints about his services. And we managed that campaign and systematically, over time, got to the point where we actually got a vote from the board putting a record in his letter, basically overturning the staff's effort to take his license away. Now, this kind of thing that was going on in this dental board happens across the country on dental boards and also medical boards. There are people who are practicing medicine. They're perfectly qualified. They have everything that they're supposed to have, and they turn out to be attacked by their medical boards. Also happens with chiropractors. And we've had healthcare professionals who are very, very skeptical of mandatory vaccination. And that has become a focal point where people on boards are saying you cannot, they're trying to take their license away or discipline them for being against mandatory vaccination. And we've managed to battle a couple of those cases effectively.
As you know, one of the positions that AAPS takes is against mandatory vaccines. That's
right.
Very good to hear that you're on the forefront of that battle, as we are as well.
Well, just take the FTC powers. The FTC tried to take away, they tried to discipline a chiropractor for having put out a pamphlet saying that mandatory vaccination can be is dangerous. And was based on science. I mean, it's a sound science from proper journals. And they tried to ban him from saying that, and they said that he was they actually called him in private conversations about the case. They called him a health terrorist for saying that that people should not have to be subjected to mandatory vaccination. And we did that case. We ultimately got them to withdraw that case. We brought, a major campaign against it, and they ultimately did withdraw that case. And it's We're in a situation where there's a way in which, from the consumer point of view, this is like a health holocaust. We have people who are doing very well on unconventional, and when I say unconventional, I mean non-drug, non-surgery, and non-radiation treatments for all kinds of ailments, which were surgery and drugs, and then, you know, in the cancer case, radiation are used routinely. And we have people who don't want to do that who are doing very, very well. And the government comes in and closes their doctor down and takes their treatments away. And there are cases that we've been involved in where we get a call that that's happened, and the patients themselves begin to deteriorate. And in fact, a number of them have died just as a result of losing their medical care. This is like a national health holocaust.
Wow. Well, Jim, I think that leads us possibly to another call and another interview, because it sounds like there's so many issues that can be, need to be, and have been addressed, and I think would be of interest to both our members and to the broader public at large. I was able to find, thanks to Google and the Internet, Jared Polis's and Congressman Chaffetz's bill, which is H.R. 4913, the Free Speech About Science Act. So it seems to me that we should have our members call their congressperson and support all three of those bills, and also call their member of Congress and tell them to remove the enhancing language for the FTC from the Financial Reform Conference report, which is now being in the process of being developed as both the House and the Senate pass their versions of the Financial Reform Bill. This is Michael Offshank with TakeBackMedicine.org and AAPS Online, and we have been talking with Jim Turner. Jim, do you have any last words?
Well, I think we really all need to pull together to straighten out this the healthcare situation in this country. And if we could actually get information to consumers and create an opportunity for consumers and healthcare professionals to collaborate on their own well-being, I think we could cut healthcare costs by probably half and create a much more healthy society. If we can do all of that, it would be great. And there are a number of issues that we touched on here today that would be useful to pursue in future discussions. And finally, get your congresspeople to co-sponsor those three bills on information. The three offices are working together on the two sets of bills. And what we want is hearings in the Waxman committee in the House. That's the Senate Commerce Committee, and hope that we can actually move these bills forward and get support from all the members of Congress. So if everyone can do that, that would be terrific.
Great. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate the opportunity.